It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
It's me, Ernest Hancock, Andrew Stremick on the board. Dan Inslee, how are you? Yeah, well, stick around, man. We'll maybe yak at you a little bit. You know, the one thing that we have people, I just got a phone call right during the opening on my phone from the guys, hopefully South Carolina. They probably lost the number. I sent them the number. Hopefully they'll be calling in here real quick. But what I wanted to talk to them about was, how do you lose a Tea Party? To Republican Party, three of them got absorbed into the Republican National Committee and the state party in South Carolina. These guys, I remember how this, you know, what they think was going to happen. This is what happened. Remember when Giuliani and Ron Paul went at it? What they did is you had the county chairman of a popular county there in South Carolina come out and he said, oh, Dr. Paul will never speak at our group. Because they're one of the early primaries. That's what they had on the debates. They're, you know, all kinds of in the know with the boys. And they have big turnouts for different campaign stuff, kind of like this New Hampshire thing and Iowa and so on. And when they said that, oh, the activists, you know, they went ballistic. They're like, ooh, the mail and the phone calls and the protesting and the people even inside their party there, man, you're just getting all kinds of stupid. So they're like, okay, well, let them come and speak at our Saturday morning thing. Of course, they had hundreds of people there. I was there, and we went, and we were making signs, and we're putting them all up, and that Saturday was a big event, and went to their deal, and then he had his own rally 30 miles away in a neighboring town that had a big auditorium. It had an enormous turnout there, thousands of people. I mean, it was all huge. Lots of signs being made and everything. So all of a sudden, they got religion. You know, it's like, this Ron Paul guy, yeah, he's not so bad. We just decided. Well, now they've been catering. Same things happen all over the country. Oh, yeah, we love Ron Paul a long time. Always have. Didn't you remember? Don't you know? Not when it counted. So now you have the Tea Party thing kind of, where's the amp behind it? Where's the fire? Who's really showing up? Who's making the signs? Who's showing their support going at, you know, the infrastructure for that was the Ron Paul Revolution. Now, of course, you'll have the guys that they'll go get the stage permit. You know, they get the mic permit. You go, yeah, we got this rally. Yeah, we got it all. It's all worked out. We got all this kind of, we got the auditorium, we got, you know, you guys, yeah, come on in. And so you're going to show our numbers, yeehaw. Oh, yeah, absolutely. They do their little meetup thing. They send out the notices, they little postcards, they get databases, whatever. Boom, they all show up. Hundreds, thousands. Well, they add them to their people and they have a nice little soiree. Well, then they start, well, we got to this and we got to that and we want to do certain things. And you'll have the Ron Paul supporter guys going, I'm not, you know, I don't want my name. I'm not with, you know, expanding the war. I'm not in this neocon version of fill in the blank, you know, whatever the heck it is. A lot of it has to do with the war or immigration or something else. So they start negotiations. And you go, hey, well, who has the database? Who's the head of the meetup? Who's the person that, you know, there's people with information. I can't even count how many times I've been approached by these kinds of people. I'm fortunate that for the last year or two, three, it's only the real newbie guys that they go, well, I'll go try. Or you got some good looking girl. Ew, I just want to, you know, be in, I can help you with your data input. Yeah, that's it. You know, you always got the infiltrators. You know, after a while, they go, just don't bother Ernie, man. NSA's got them anyway. If you ever think you're private, I mean, we don't just share anything. Our database, no. But if you think the big bad guys don't have direct access to whatever's on a computer somewhere, man, you're naive. I mean, of course, we do our best, but, you know, don't count on it. I just don't. So what happens is now they got these groups that are being, you know, massaged. Ooh, rub your shoulders. Ooh, feel your bicep. Ooh, you must work out. Oh, man, you guys, come to our meeting. So what's the first thing they do? They go and I talked to one of the head guys just, days before this happened. Oh, Ernie, yeah, we can this and do that. And what can, you know, how do you think we can, you know, whatever? And just wanted to get my advice. And I'm going, look, we've had this conversation before. Do not get sucked into a collective. Cause if you do, what are they going to want? I guarantee you they'll promise you anything to get your database. And once they get that, what good are you? They don't want you. They don't need, they don't care. They already got it all worked out, man. I said, just take and be of service. Get all everybody's emails at, you know, different heads of whatever, these little groups and their meetups and the organizations and the Republican Party and their incumbents. And, you know, just be a resource and put some phone numbers and emails on the one, whatever you can fit on one sheet of paper, just little groups and everybody that's representing. You want to talk and open source, kind of everybody communicate with everybody in here and knock yourself out. You'll get a lot of people joining your thing and some of your people may go join theirs and shared information. It's all good. But everybody knows everything, you know, it's all good. But don't turn over your individual database. Don't do that. You do that, you're done. What'd they do? I don't know. They called last night, one of the head guys called and he said, yeah. I said, look, I don't even need to, you know, he goes, well, you want me to tell you? I go, we'll talk about it on the radio tomorrow. I go, we don't even need to talk about it. I don't need to because I already know. I already know. I don't even need to be there. I already know what happened. I already know. So, you know, whatever. Yeah, I got a call coming in now. You got to wait. You know, because these, so I'll get them during the break and get them the right number and stuff. I don't know. He probably didn't have it. But the thing is that when we come back after this first break, hopefully we'll be able to get this gentleman on. And I tell you, I haven't talked to him. And I'll tell you, I told him, I said, look, I don't even want to hear it. You can tell me on the radio because I already know what happened. It always happens. There are those that want to use the power of the collective to control the people in it. What if your whole mind, that's what Jesse Benton was going on about. He understands. He knows that my advocacy, you know, through the entire Ron Paul campaign, they were trying to get me to come in and do and we can work. And I go, to hell no, no, no. No, you guys do whatever you want. I'm just going to support and train and help and inspire all these young people to do whatever they want. Well, they could say, oh, I don't care. But what if they were to put on their site, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. Because good things will be replicated and supported. Bad stuff are ignored. You know, that's why we don't have failed efforts. Because the good stuff, the good ideas, people support them. Hey, let's do that. Well, this other guy, well, I want to do this. Well, I want to be on a committee. Let's create a board of directors so that me and my buddies can get on and we can vote to spend other people's money and do what we want. Really? How's that work out for you? That's why decentralization works. People do what they want and other people help them if they want to. And the good ideas get done. Bad ideas don't. Now, some good ideas, some guy may go rogue and just do it, and it became the biggest, greatest, most wonderful thing ever. Like when we did the Ron Paul Revolution, at first, man, everybody was telling us not to do that. Oh, revolution, that's too, that wouldn't be prudent at this juncture. And I go, right. Well, you guys go yak it over there, and we're going to do it anyway. You wouldn't believe how many people on my case. Even Dr. Paul. You know, the campaign called me, Lou Moore, the campaign manager. They go, Ernie, are you sure you want to say? Well, if he comes in March 29th, I remember the first state that he did any fundraising was here in Arizona. And I said, you come here. Well, I guarantee you, we'll get you some money. We'll have a big shoe. Sure enough, comes here, goes up, one of the first videos of him, even talk, before he even announced, is you go to ErnestHancock.com, one of my first videos, or go to Ernest Hancock on YouTube, my YouTube channel, and you'll see the video. And that was one of the first ones. And they were like, when he comes in the airport, if there's media there and they see the word revolution, that'll like stick to him. And then it'll be, oh, we haven't got our signs done yet. And I go, look, if you don't want us to go, just say so. But if we go, we're going to do what we want. You know, well, okay, I guess, you know, boom, boom, this thing exploded, and we knew it. Their Beltway mentality, they still don't understand. I mean, they understand the power of the message. They understand, but they didn't know from out here in the gutter, out in the street, out on the sidewalks of the decades I've been doing this, they didn't know that the people were ready en masse. They are ready. They're ready for a revolution, a real one. They didn't have to be violent. The revolutions are between the ears. The revolution is not contained. It won't be televised. It'll be YouTubed all to hell, but it won't be televised, okay? There's too much control. You cannot control it. If you got leaders of a revolution, you got the wrong revolution. Movements are not contained.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Declaring our independence and whatnot from Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEA beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. I just got Morpheus, one of the activists here and the sales manager for Freedoms Phoenix. He sent me, he goes, "Hey, Aaron, you got to see this." And we're talking about, you know, the food tax is becoming a big thing. They're trying to start that. And of course, you know, we don't want to lay off. Now it's up to 500 and something. Officers are going to have to lay off if they don't raise a tax. And I'm like, you know, good. They keep hiring every single bond to like everything. More police for the police state. And all they do is go out and write more tickets. And you have a property crime. You have your automobile being stolen. And we're number one in the nation, by the way. And I'm going, if we had... even more cops, would that go down? I don't think so. So this, he's just looking at the average wages here. We have the average salary for a general employees, okay, for the city is $54,000. That's not, you know, chump change, but I mean, you know, it's the average police officer makes $147,000. So I'm going, wow, that's like more. So what happens though? I mean, these guys got their own union, man. Dang Skippy. And you have Phoenix Police Unions and the Firemen Unions are heavily sought as endorsement for city councilmen. And I tell you, the Firemen one is the big one because they, like, on 24 off 48, 72 or something like that. I mean, they, you know, they get a lot of time off, so they're putting up signs. They're always, every single city election, they get, like, an 8% increase. I mean, this is part of their deal. So I'm going, whoa. So now they're going, hey, you want to keep this force? Well, you need to keep us tax funded because all the revenue is going down. I mean, the economy is imploding, but who doesn't cut back? The government. No, in fact, they don't. Not only do they not cut back, they expand. They're adding new taxes. This is going to get ugly. You think it's bad now? This is not over. It's getting real bad. Well, we got Harry Kibler from South Carolina on the phone. Harry, you ready, man?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's get to it. We already wasted enough time. Let's go. Tell me what happened. In South Carolina, I don't even have an opinion. In South Carolina, I know that we have Ron Paul really got a big whooping going, people going, they're getting excited. Other people were drawn in. They want to have, you know, take back America. They did different Tea Party movements. They're having success with that. And then as they start to have some influence, then what happened? Tell me everything.
Well, Ernie, several weeks ago, first of all, we've got a coalition here in the upcountry of South Carolina, that's made up of many different liberty groups. and we formed a coalition with very clear, very specific goals, what we were going to work toward as a coalition. And outside of those goals, everybody can still operate independently with their own groups.
And your coalition goal primary, give me top three.
Well, obviously, all of those goals are directed toward liberty. Conservative values, getting conservative candidates elected, reducing the size of government, you know, all the basically
conservative values.
To the Constitution.
You got to define this stuff for me. We're all about conservative values. I mean, you know, as Bible Belt, South Carolina, man, we want conservative values. You got to define that for me. What does that mean?
Well, you know, South Carolinians are no different than you are in Arizona.
I don't know, man. You're going to tell me. What is conservative values? I mean, did you actually say that? Conservative values? Did you define it? Or you're just kind of generally, we just want conservatives in office? I mean, what are you saying?
Well, I would certainly hope that the listeners would understand what a conservative is. A conservative is somebody who does not want to increase the size of government. You were just talking about that there in Arizona with the police force and increasing the size of government in an economic downturn. So that is a conservative value.
All right. So we'll just assume everybody knows what that means. Okay. So we got conservative values that we want to promote in South Carolina, and we're going to do that through what? How did the Republican Party get involved down there?
Well, the Republican Party realized that our coalitions that are formed in our state are starting to gain traction, and they obviously, you know, had some interpretation about that we may actually be able to change some elections. So we received an invitation to join up with the GOP here.
Join up, okay? Define that. They said you got an invitation. Come in and join up. We got what? You get a secret decoder ring? Is there something that you got? What?
Well, no. They approached us and said that the South Carolina Republican Party, specifically one particular county, is where it was supposed to start. Would like to start a Tea Party Republican organization, and they showed us a list of Tea Party values. Which pretty much was carbon copied out of the Republican Party platform, and said, we're going to vet the incumbents and the candidates, and if they have lived up to, or if they commit that they will live up to these quote unquote Tea Party values, that we will give them a good housekeeping seal of approval.
Okay, Harry, you're killing me, Harry. I mean, I want to know these particular whatevers, because this is exactly what I'm talking about. You have the Republican Party sees a popular movement out there that they want to co-opt and bring in the whatever the heck it is that they want to do. And they go, all right, we're going to bring you in under our candidates are going to abide by fill in the blank. What are those blanks? What is it that they wanted? This coalition is going to vet these candidates based on what? And I guarantee there's a top one to three. I want to know what they are. Do you know what they are?
Well, I don't have them written down in front of me. they are directly out of the Republican Party platform.
Okay, so we got to have a strong defense. We're, anybody that attacks us, go kick ass. We're going to kind of lower taxes and less government and Newt Gingrich 1994 all over again, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Contract with America style.
All right, I get it. Okay. And then, so they do this, they offer you guys, and you go, ooh, yeah, we want to play. And then what happened?
No, we didn't want to play.
So what'd they say?
We rejected the offer. And just within a week of this transpiring, we reject the offer. A press release went out from the county Republican Party that at the executive committee meeting, that they were going to unveil the new Tea Party Republican organization after we had rejected it.
Okay, now we who? When you say we rejected it, is there one group or more than one group? How many groups?
there's approximately 15 separate groups that make up the upcountry coalition of conservative organizations.
Okay, so when they do the big press release on this, and we have, all the Tea Parties have come under our wing and whatever, they're fibbing?
Certainly misleading. We told them when they unveiled, when they sent out the press release that they were going to unveil this at the executive committee meeting, we told them that while you folks are in there talking about being Tea Party Republicans, the real Tea Party movement, the Liberty movement, will be outside the building, protesting what's happening on the inside of the building. That went back and forth for a couple of days, them trying to convince us not to protest at their meeting. They eventually backed down and said, hey, we're not going to start a Tea Party Republican organization.
Okay, hold it right there. We'll get it after the break. You can hold on through the break, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you just hold on right there. Yeah, there's resistance. Resistance. Do we have resistance to the collectivization of individuals wanting to do, I don't know, where they perceive to be in their own self-interest? We're going to find out. We're going to find out in just a little bit.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Turn on the tube.
It's me, Ernest Hancock. I'm frustrated. I see the same thing over and over and over and over and over. Oh, one more time. And over. Because I'm telling you, it continues to replicate itself because we allow it to. Somebody's got to be out there going, look, you know, how many times do you have to repeat this process before you start to figure it out? Collectives don't work. I get people that I admire, people I respect, and they call me, they go, oh, Ernie, and you shouldn't, and you should, and that, and they're going to tell me how, and did that, and I'm going, you know, I don't know how loud I got to say it. I don't know how many times I got to say it. I don't know how stringent I got to be on it. I'm not playing anymore. We're in the middle of a revolution. You know, we're honing it down. You know, there's a lot of people that join, come here, work, and this, and that's why we call it the workshop. It is a workshop. It's not a debate shop. It's not a go-around shop. You can go, there's all kinds of other shops someplace, go somewhere else. It's a workshop. And we're focused on how many minds can we free, and the people that want to bring in, yeah, but Ernie, don't you think? And I go, oh, you're confusing me with someone that's voting. You're confusing me with someone that wants to wear the ring of power. You're confusing me with someone that wants to have a bigger coalition. You're confusing me with someone that thinks that, you know, in some kind of group that we're going to all of a sudden we're going to overcome the unlimited resources of the evil empire, military industrial complex, new world order of. You know, you're confusing me with someone that believes that. And every time that this is done and people are focus on the stupid stuff, it's like, you know, Dr. Paul isn't pure enough. Yeah? He's a politician. What'd you expect? No, the campaign for liberty isn't. I go, yeah, they're playing politics. What did you expect? Well, the Tea Party isn't doing what I want to do. Yeah, it's another collective. What did you expect? You do what you want. And I do everything I can to provide as many resources as possible. Freedom's Phoenix. You want to have your own special edition? Knock yourself out. You want to be a reporter? Knock yourself out. You want to write a letter to the editor? Knock yourself out. You want to come on the radio? Knock yourself out. You want to come here and make signs, T-shirts, print press? Knock yourself out. But I am sick and tired of people calling me and telling me, you know what you should do and these guys should do and they, you know, whizzed on our parade and we got, you know, and I'm going, what did you think was going to happen? So, Harry, after that rant... I am like, what the heck did you think was going to happen? So now you're outside. They are coming together, going to do them. They don't want you protesting. They don't want you sullying their Tea Party kind of. They want to make sure it's all kumbaya. And did it wind up getting kumbaya or not? What happened?
They backed down. They said that they would not start the Tea Party Republican organization. We agreed that we would not protest. Then they wanted to do a joint press conference stating that you know, they're changing course. They're not trying to take over the Liberty Movement, and for us to agree publicly that we would not protest. We did have that press conference, and we agreed that we would try to work within the precincts to get Liberty candidates into office, and that we would also create a liaison between the party and the Liberty Movement in South Carolina, and that we would work to get the more Liberty candidates elected. Well, that's what was agreed upon publicly at a joint press conference. Yesterday, the chairman of the party went on national television, and our opinion is misstated what actually was agreed upon to make it sound like that there is a love fest between the Liberty groups and the Republican Party.
Oh, heavens to Murgatroyd! I'm so shocked. Not.
Yeah.
What did you think was going to happen?
Well, unlike yourself, you know, a lot of us don't have the experience that you've got. So we're in a learning curve, and I guess, you know, we have to get stung a few times.
You know, the thing is that this is why I'm so frustrated with this, is that I had this conversation with Chris. You know who Chris is. And I told him exactly what was going to happen. You do not give these guys an inch, they'll take a parsec, and they will spin it, because they got even a fraction sliver of the truth, they will take and spin it into whatever when they got the cameras and TV and microphones in their face and say it on national television, and there it's on. And that's what I see. This is what I see. I don't see what you said. I don't see what they reported in the local newspaper. I don't get from your meetup. I don't get that. I get it from what they said on national television.
Right.
So what are you going to do about it? What can you do about it?
Well, we're going to have a press conference of our own tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock.
And I guarantee it does not get covered as much as whatever it was that they already did. The barn door's already open.
Well, you may in fact be correct. Your experience may hold true. But I have been on the phone since about 12 o'clock our time today with reporter after reporter wanting to know information about what we're doing.
You know, this is the one thing that and this is why I'm getting so frustrated. We're getting into an election cycle in 2010. We just went through this in 08 during Ron Paul's thing. And there are a lot of people that, especially the young people, they saw this for what it was. That's why they got so amped up. That's why they got so mad. That's why they did so many signs. And you know this more than most people there in South Carolina. You saw what happened. So I'm going, this is from them doing, they knew better. They knew that they could not trust these people. They knew. So we have them educated. They get it. They're out doing whatever they're doing. Individual, the power of the individual, the power of the individual. And they saw all this work, and you have more mature people that go, yeah, but there's power in collectives. There's power in coalition. We get to have, you know, it's like we're going to church. You know, it's like we're going to go to have it and join the JCs. It's like we're going to have, and we're going to accomplish and blah, 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 blah. And I scream at the top of my lungs all this time going, don't let them suck you into this, because it's all about the collective, having a certain small group of people that will spend other people's money. They will get a nice little group together and say, yes, we represent the voices of all of these people. You'll have all kinds of people will attend a Tea Party kind of thing, and you'll have Fox News and Clear Channel will get the permit for the stage and the microphone and go, we speak for all these people. They will do this over and over and over until the Tea Party becomes known as, might as well just be neocon Republicans. And I guarantee you that they're putting Sarah Palin at the front of this Tea Party thing because they want to be able to promote war. They will not bring troops back from overseas. And that was one of the main things from Dr. Paul. And you'll have a lot of, yeah, we're kind of willing to go. Yeah, we got to go get some Muslims. You know, you got to, yeah, we got to protect. Oh, Iran. And I'm going, you just, it's so amazing to me that you will keep repeating the same. And if you've been in politics for any amount of time, Harry, you have seen this before.
Yeah, I've only been what I call politically awake for about 2 years. but I do remember the contract with America, and I won't forget it.
Well, this is good education for you. I mean, I hammer on you, Harry, and a lot of other people. People that call me, they know, they should know better. You know, they're just, you know, they want me to support something or not support something, or I should be saying this or that, and they're missing the whole point. The whole point behind all of this is that this stuff was already planned. It's all maneuvering pieces on a chessboard. And if you ever start to beat them, if you ever start, it's like playing with these guys is like playing chess with a 3-year-old. You get to the point where you frustrate them and you're starting to beat them, and they knock all the pieces on the floor, throw over the table, pull out their 45 and pump 3 in your chest.
Yeah.
You go, oh, there's your rules. What, you thought there were rules to the chess game with a 3-year-old? Mentality of this government stuff, you cannot dance with the devil and change them. This whole entire structure is there to co-opt and take over any kind of power that you have.
I agree.
So stop. You know, I spent an enormous amount of time on the road talking to Chris about him, saying, don't do this. I mean, don't get involved. I'm telling you, just you don't even have to oppose them. Just stay independent. Just stay outside. Yep. No liaison, no agreement, no pinky swear, no nothing, because they'll do exactly what they did. They did it, and I'm like, you know what? You guys, not whatever. The point is that hopefully you have learned your lesson this time, and you will not do this again. Decentralization. Even you can't be the leader of it. You just be a facilitator. You're the head of, like, here we have very successful in Phoenix and the meetups and all that kind of stuff, because all the people that were in charge of different meetups, heck, they were just passing on, here, you want to do it? I don't want to do it. It's your turn. You know what? They didn't care. And they were just facilitators. Let people do what they want.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, man. Well, you know, you let us know what we can do. I sent some DVDs and stuff to Chris to give you guys some help there. But I'm telling you, take it back. You know, just be your own. Don't even get messed up. I don't even know what to tell you.
Ernie, thank you for the DVDs. Chris has already given me some of them. I must hand them, every one of them I've already given out.
All right, very cool. Thanks for coming on here. I appreciate it. We'll be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Open up your mind and let me step
inside. That, you know, we are always getting someone trying to get inside our head. I mean, that's what this whole matrix is about. You know, it's to get you not to take the red pill, I can tell you that. It's just do what you is told. It's so easy when you know how to play the game. And this is what's happening. We have opened ourselves up to that. Once we get any kind of influence, that is sought by the bad guys. Influence is what I get everything. I mean, if you can influence people with commercial television, you can influence them with music, you can influence with cleavage, you can influence them with, you know, shiny glossy ads, you can influence them with endorsements from celebrities, you can influence them, influence, it's all about influence. What is it that we have as freedom fighters that we can influence people? I tell you, you cannot compete with them financially. You cannot compete with them with the force of arms. You cannot compete with them in really just about anything, media coverage, attention. I mean, it's unlimited resources. The only thing that you can compete with them with is credibility, integrity, honesty, truth. You know, and he who believes hardest, longest wins. That's how it works throughout history. And I deal with a lot of people, and what happens over time, you'll have a lot of people that are inspired by a lot of things that we do, a lot of people that want to work with a lot of things that we do, a lot of people that want to, you know, bask in the glow, you know, warm themselves by the fire, get involved and do kind of stuff. Man, I hammer on it. It is a workshop, and we've been pretty good. You know, a lot of people, they come down, they work, they help, they get things going on. They're not wasting time. But then you got people that will come in and they'll just, oh, well, we're going to do fill in the blank. And then they kind of, well, we'll have a much larger coalition if we work with these guys. We'll triple our numbers. We'll have more votes. We'll have more. Do you really think that is the battle? Heck, do you trust what the government computers say anyway? Is that your determining factor on what is and is not done? By what some talking head on scumbag de la media, lamestream media so last century says? Is that what you're trying to, is that what you're kowtowing your message to? That's it? Really? Seriously? Is it some politician? Is it a group of politicians? Is it some collective that's, you know, trying to get something from some people to redistribute amongst themselves or something? Is it, where do you get your sense of right and wrong? Where do you get your sense of accomplishment? Where do you get your self-esteem built on what? On people that you should avoid like the plague on what they think? I could not possibly care less what these guys think. I go directly to the people. And I want to make sure that they understand the difference between what is right and what is wrong. And if you want to know who the bad guy, what is the most fundamental thing that you should be dealing with, especially when you're dealing with politics? And what do you think politics is? It's a use of force. And what do? Yeah, politics, we need to have a monopoly on force. We need a monopoly on force. Only cops should have guns. Only the military should get tanks. Only you know, a monopoly of force. How's that working out for us? And you use it in every aspect of life. You know, we got to have the majority rules. We're going to tax you, pass food tax. What are you going to do about it? You know, this is the kind, this is where the rubber meets the road. Now, I'm telling you, I'm losing a lot of my patience. I've been, you know, oh man, we're getting into the election cycle. Here we go. And I see after the 2008 election cycle of the power of the love, of the power of decentralization, the power that people felt on their own individual, the work that they put into this and saw how much influence they could have. And then you still have people out there going, oh, you guys should join us in our collective effort to conservative values. All right, what is that? Well, you know, it's conservative value. Your audience obviously knows it's conservative value. It's conservative. Which means what? You know, this is, I'm just, oh, what lesson did we learn? It's how many minds I can free. I don't give a rip about the vote totals for whatever. You know, I didn't have anything to do with Ron Paul's campaign. And I got criticism going, well, you know, you shouldn't support him because of, you know, he pulled out of the race, okay? Before he said, man, don't think I didn't have something to say to Ron about that. The day before he did that, I'm going, don't do this, man. Now, if you just stayed through the convention, you get all the support you ever wanted forever to do anything, kind of don't worry about it. You make whatever money back you're ever going to spend, whatever. They had their own thing they wanted to do working inside playing Republican politics. All right, fine, got it. Another example. Republican playing politics, Republican kind of, you know, but what'd you expect? He's a Republican congressman. I mean, you know, you just take, you go, okay, I'm good, I get it. You know, you're going to play that game. You know, you want your committee chairmanship. You want to be able to move stuff through. You want to maybe get reelected. You want, you know, I understand. You know, but that's one less thing. I always go, well, we need to get a libertarian in Congress. Oh, you're going to get a better libertarian than Ron Paul in Congress? Seriously? Really? Do you think so? One in there? You know, he's got that covered. I'm good. You know, if we're going to be in Congress, I got to pick something. Ron Paul, done. I'm good. Rand Paul gets in there. I don't know. We'll see. Kind of getting kind of nervous about him, you know. But, you know, so that's insane. Whatever. These will know what's going on. So I'm going, yeah, whatever. You still voting? So my thing is that what I'm really, if I'm worried about political power, I'm worried about how many guys I can get elected. I'm worried about you got chickens. I mean, you need to be able to feed yourself for what is coming. You're not going to solve this politically. If you think voting is going to make you free, you have not been paying attention. This is going to get really bad, and it's going to get really bad really fast. What are you doing to free the minds of your neighbors, your friends, your family, your loved ones, your relatives, your in-laws even? I love my in-laws, though. But we've had contentious times over the last 20 years. Wife and I, we've been married 25 years, and I'm telling you, you know, the first 10 years of that, you know, Ernie's kind of crazy. And all of a sudden, I got less crazy. All of a sudden, now I'm not crazy. You know, and then my brother-in-law's a ratings guy at Moody's, no less. Worked for NASDAQ. My other brother-in-law, you know, is a Department of Defense at Norfolk Naval Station, refurbing nuclear submarines. Oh, man, they're deep. Now, they're Fox News watchers. You know, one of my brother-in-law, he's kind of like, eh, okay, you know, I kind of like Glenn Beck now, even though he did come from CNN. You know, these kinds of, you know, they're making the evolution. And I'm telling you, I am so frustrated with people that think that, you know, now that we're respected, now that they've come to, now that they want us to be part of, now that they want us to be part of their scumbag club, well, then, you know, yeah, we can walk in with all kind of street cred and, you know, being part of their collective to what? Conservative values. What the heck's that? They for pulling out the troops or coming home? War? War on drugs? You know, stop this spending? You mean like that? You mean like that? If it's not that, what is the point? We are in the last days. This is last days. I want you guys to do some research on this Bank for International Settlements. If you go and you do a wiki search on it, it'll come up with what it's known in other languages. In German, it's a Bank for Internationalen Zusatzregelungen, whatever. Okay. In French, it's a Bank des Reglements International, blah, blah, blah. So you go through these and you put those in and you do a translate on these on Google Translator and you start finding out what they're saying about this in Europe because they're not saying it here, man. It's getting scrubbed here. There is, I got the Bank for International Settlements, BIS, is an international organization of central banks, which fosters international monetary and financial cooperation and serves as a bank for the central banks. It is not accountable to any national government. The BIS carries out its work through subcommittees, the secretaries it hosts, and through its annual general meeting of all members. It also provides banking services, but only to central banks or to international organizations like itself. Based in Basel, Switzerland, the BIS was established by the Hague Agreements of 1930. The name of the BIS in German is blah, 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 blah. You know, they got representatives and offices in Hong Kong and Mexico City and on and on and on. As an organization of central banks, the BIS seeks to make monetary policy more predictable and transparent among its 57 member central banks. Let me tell you what that means. It's going to be predictable, transparent, and the world, oh, here it comes. Do you even know that these people exist? This is like the parent company of the Federal Reserve. And did anybody even know anything about them? Well, they had their little secret Uber meeting in Sydney. At the same time, I got G7 in the Arctic Circle, or halfway literally around the world. And nobody knows anything. The BIS was formed in 1930. The main actors and established the BIS were then Governor of the Bank of England, Montague Norman, and his German colleague, blah, blah, what's his name? Later, Adolf Hitler's finance minister. You start to get it? And you know nothing. But we might get more votes if we go be inside the Republican Party. I'm agitated. Did we learn nothing? Decentralization. Take care of yourself. How many minds can you free? Got chickens and a garden. We'll talk to you tomorrow.